Hello and welcome to the first episode of Building COD MN. I'm so excited. My name is Ashley Glassell, aka Midnight. I'm here with Brett Diamond, our COO, and we're super excited today to bring you guys episode one of literally just building this franchise. You want to kind of like outline us and tell the people what they can expect with this podcast down the line?
Yeah, so this first episode, we'll be talking about, you know, how we got to this point, how Midnight came on board, and just going through the whole process of roster mania for the last few weeks, which has been, you know, just incredibly fascinating. After this, we'll do regular podcasts. We'll bring in other staff that are coming on board. We'll definitely have the players and our coach part of a future podcast, you know, guests from all over the industry, and you know, just want to share as much with, you know, with you all about what we're building here and how we're doing it.
Exactly. I'm super excited to just have been a part of the process and now just to put a content spin on it and let the people like be a part of it too, almost like kind of be a fly on the wall. I guess it's kind of a podcast go. One thing that you guys have been, you know, super, I think, grateful for so far is just we've tried to be as transparent as we can be, obviously, with a lot of the stuff that's gone on. We've tried to bring out great content for you guys. That's not going to stop. We're kind of you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, really, of what we're trying to do with content this year and our team. So we're really genuinely excited. Today I really want to talk about, like you said, kind of how Brett like found me and I found out about COD MN. It was instant. Like, I was like, dude, I have to be a part of that. And then obviously we want to talk about roster mania, how this unprecedented time in Call of Duty. And I think like any sport, really, like I can't think of a sport where every professional player or athlete becomes a free agent or restricted free agent at the same time. That's been crazy to deal with. And like for you being new to the Call of Duty scene, I'm sure it's just been a crash course.
Yeah, like you said, there's really nothing like it in sports at any level, whether traditional sports or esports, where you have the entire ecosystem of players, all unrestricted free agents, everybody dealing with the transition to a new league and dealing with new rules. And, you know, I will say, I think the group at Activision, you know, they did a good job putting together a set of rules that was fair to everybody involved. It was fair to new teams like us. You know, I'm not saying that we loved every single rule that we came across, but I think ultimately it was fair to new teams like us. It was fair to teams that were making the transition, and it was fair to teams that weren't. I think it was fair to the players as well. And I know they tried to look out for the players in how they built their rules. You know, we'll see over time how different teams, different approaches that we've seen over the past few weeks, how that ladders up to, you know, when the actual matches start being played.
Yeah, that's what's going to be really interesting. So my favorite part of Roster Mania, just like, this is obviously, I was a part of Optic Gaming for so dang long, almost a decade, but I was never like an integral part or chooser of any major decisions that happened with rosters. So I always like kind of knew about Roster Mania stuff, like Hector would let me know. But this is a situation where I've been an integral part of the process, and it's so much different. There's so many layers that people don't know about, and I don't fault them for it. Like, you don't know what you don't know. But seeing like the Reddit threads and Twitter, and everyone's already putting power rankings out based on rumored teams. Like, it's just the excitement around it's really awesome. And that's obviously another part of the reason we want to do this podcast. You know, seeing like everybody kind of like build their own team, like it's almost like fantasy. It's not really like that. Like, on the back end, there's a lot of rules, there's some restrictions, there's so many factors that people don't even think about. One of the things that I kind of did during the Roster Mania period was I was talking to the players a lot. Like, I was like, they all kind of knew of me in the community. Maybe we're not BFF for life, but you know, they knew of me. I was a familiar face and to an organization that kind of needed the dots connected. So
yeah, I think it was definitely better that their first call was from Midnight than from Brett some guy.
Yeah,
like, I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the other franchises may have struggled with that because a lot of them have that Overwatch experience. Mm-hmm. We don't. So you guys are truly fresh. So,
yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, Ashley, maybe talk a little bit about what our cadence was of, you would talk to the players first, and then, you know, and then we would, you know, I would
like
come
filter
in.
Them.
Yeah, Ryan would come in. We'd have, you know, what those steps looked like.
Yeah. So obviously there were time frames that we could do this. Obviously after Champs, I think it was like a week or so after Champs, there was a period in time where I think the existing teams like Team Envious becoming Dallas and, you know, Splice becoming Toronto, they had a week's time where they could sign the players that were already on their roster. Interestingly enough, I don't think anybody got signed during that period, to my knowledge. So during that week, although we couldn't sign any players, that was when I could start talking to people. So I could, if I could, I'd screenshot you guys my calendar of who I talked to, when I talked to them, how long I talked to them. I have an entire notebook over there in my backpack of notes of each player. And one thing that if you guys want kind of like insight into how the player calls went, it was me getting on the phone with you know, it could be a tier one, tier two, tier three player. Like, I asked pretty much all the same questions, gave them all the same spiel about our franchise. And it's usually weighted in three things for the player. It's, how much am I going to make? Who am I going to get to play with? Where do I got to go? All three of those things are weighted differently for everybody. It's definitely important for us to have our players. We train here. We live here. We play here. You know, maybe during the off season they do go home, like traditional sports. Like, I don't think, you know, a ton of the Vikings players are hanging out, you know, after the season. They're probably seeing their families and everything after a long grind. But yeah, I think it's pretty common, and we really believe in the infrastructure that we have. Obviously, as someone who's super content-minded, like having the players around to be able to shoot stuff, keep you guys in the loop, like that's so important to us. And so, yeah, a majority of players were willing to move, but guys who kind of have, I guess they feel like, and maybe this is definitely like rightfully so, but they feel like, I'm going to play with who I want, where I want, for the amount of money I want. And we ran into that, right? And
that's,
I think,
cool. If you can swing it, do it.
And
man,
some of them could swing it, and yeah, then what we ended up seeing is some of them could not swing it, and they didn't end up where they wanted to be or in a position that they wanted to be in. So one thing, like, about our current players that we have, the core three, I walked in here before that period of time where I could start talking to players. I walked into an office with Brett and the ownership group, and we had a printed out, like, scatterbrained notepad that I had printed from my phone. And it was a layout of, because what you want to do is you want to take like duos or trios and kind of keep them together, especially if they're successful together. And Assault and Silly were on that list for me. Obviously, last year with their team last year, it was a rough year. They had just won champs, and then they transitioned into, you know, a tough adjustment to the new game and a tough adjustment to the roles on their team. And I knew that, but I also knew that these guys are pretty freaking consistent over time. Especially, I think Silly is so underrated as well, just stats-wise and just as a person. I think he's a great person. So I had them down, right? And I obviously, like, I think you remember me talking to you about, like, here's this player, and he really doesn't like this player, so you wouldn't want to match them. But here's these three, or here's these two, and then this is what we would want to do with them. So I definitely, like, did my homework on it and tried to get these guys up to speed. And just side note, like, Brett and the ownership has been amazing in the learning process with this, because it's a lot to learn. It's a crash course of, like, I'm saying names and gamer tags that Brett's never heard of and he's like, who? But he's really, you guys have really taken to the scene very well. You're starting
pretty
to
good,
like,
teacher.
Yeah, true. I mean, I had, like, I was able to be like, yeah, so here's what happened in the last 8 years with this guy. Like, it was kind of, it's easier to hear that instead of trying to Google and figure it out.
Well, and we were really impressed by your level of detail and organization and how you approached it. And, you know, I think that's what gave us all confidence that this was the right path to go forward, and, you know, that we wanted you leading these discussions with players for us.
Yeah, and I think that kind of, like, translated decently well. I'm definitely not a know-it-all type of person, but I at least can hold my ground in a conversation, and especially when I'm telling people about how great our franchise is, how great the ownership is, and how great the infrastructure is. Obviously, that's attractive to a lot of players. I'm not saying the other teams are never going to come out with content, but we're ahead of the content game because, number one, we want to be, but number two, we, you know, the ownership believes in that, you know? And so that's a huge part of it. And so, anyway, sidetracked. But the ownership is really taken well.
You know, when it comes to the content, we're trying to think about it as, if we were fans, what would we want to see and what would we want to hear? And even the content that we did where we're talking about the rules, like, for me, I'm thinking about that. If I'm a fan, I would love to nerd out on the rules for a new league, right? And if I didn't work here, I would probably have, like, read that stuff anyway, just out of curiosity of how it works,
just,
right?
To see how it's all about to go down.
Yeah,
right?
And so, you know, we kind of looked at that too and said, hey, fans may want to hear about what's about to happen. especially because there wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of chatter about the rules or how it was going to work with teams. You know, and even in that first video we did, we talked a little bit about how the process might move slowly for a number of different reasons. And that's really how it played out. I mean, you're really only, you know, it's been several weeks and you're just now starting to get a real pace of player announcements and signing announcements and understanding where people want to go. And, I mean, there's been rumors for weeks on the Intel accounts of who's going where.
Yeah, right.
You know, we'll see how true all that stuff ends up being. Also, so far, it's been pretty accurate.
Well, much love to the Intel accounts, first of all. But second of all, y'all are slow. Like, a lot of that stuff was known, like, I don't know. I was shocked at how long it took them to because we signed our guys pretty quick.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm checking that. I'm watching that account every day, too. But I think every agent and every player knew those top three that we signed before it made its way to Twitter.
It was like a solid chunk of time. But now, regardless.
Now you're going to kill us. Every little thing that we're trying to hide, now it's going to be out there the next day because we just called them out.
They're like, oh, yeah, we'll see the turnaround time on this. Yeah, it's been interesting to see, like, the development of behind the scenes and how long it kind of takes to get out into the general public. And just like, I mean, our team in particular, I think when you look at Assault and Silly, their stock obviously is high because a year ago they were world champions. We're like gassing them up, right? But then they have the time they did last year in Black Ops 4. It just wasn't their game, the roles on their team, the constant changes. It wasn't a recipe for success for them. So they maintained pretty much from day one. I mean, everyone, you know, tells you, hey, girl, I really like you. I want to take you to prom. Don't worry. And then, you know, you see them taking someone else to prom and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. One thing I found interesting, there were definitely multiple players that said, yeah, Minnesota's my first choice. I want to come to Minnesota. And it was pretty clear that they were telling that to probably every team they were talking to.
No, you could. And dude, this is what's so interesting is, like, after talking to so many of the players, like, it was fascinating to me just as somebody who likes to talk to people, like, hearing, because I would pretty much give like the same general like overview about our franchise and blah blah blah. Like, some of the way that some of the players like approached the call was very interesting. Like, some of them came in super like hard sell, like, I'm gonna sell you on me, and I'm like, dude, I know like who you are. I've been here the whole time. Like, like maybe to like other franchises, I get that, but you know, for the most part, like the pros I really connected well with were the people who were like, not that just knew who I was, but like were comfortable talking. They were like, yeah, so this is basically it. I would kind of ask people like, I would obviously tell them about our franchise and the great infrastructure we're going to have here, the HQ, the content angle, what we're going to be able to give them, you know, to succeed and set themselves up for that. And then I would kind of tell them, or I would ask them, like, so who do you kind of like click up with? Because one thing you guys will notice about Call of Duty is it's pretty clicky, like, especially when you're creating a roster, like, players like to play with their friends. There's definitely some friendship teams out there right now, which is okay. You know, we'll see how it shakes out with the new game. But we weren't really trying to do that. Obviously, you do want to take like players who have great chemistry. Like, you want to get like a strong duo and kind of build around them. And that's what we ended up doing with Assault and Silly. So, and then when I remember the first time I talked to GodRx, I was like, he wasn't like overly like, you know,
you were
silly,
high on him.
But
I remember you were high on him from the first conversations we had.
I was high on him based on his performance at Champs and his overall stats from the year. This dude is criminally underrated. I mean, it's just because like we're talking about, like, he's not really in the friendship circles with a lot of these top guys yet, right? So he's such a talented guy. He's been around for a long time, but just most recently in the last couple of years, he's really been on an incline. So I'm expecting him to really be like the guy you see pretty consistently performing, especially in Search and Destroy. Last year he was like top two, top three Search and Destroy stats. That's KD, that's damage, that's everything, right? So he is just criminally underrated, man. And I think most people who really pay attention to the scene would say that. And I think he was definitely the bright spot of E6 during their champs run. Like, obviously it's a team game. You can't get carried in these Call of Duties anymore. I think one thing that I kind of let you guys know when you're coming in is that, you know, in the olden days, you're like Black Ops 2, Modern Warfare 3, like Ghost. Like, if you had one guy who was just a superstar, you were pretty elevated. Like, you could get carried. Now there's five people on a team. the game modes are much more team-based. Like, you really need, like, a full cohesive unit. So
how much of a difference does it make with it being 5v5 versus when it used to be 4v4?
I think the big difference, just, I mean, obviously I don't play competitively. Like, I play, like, casual, like, game battles or league play. But yeah, for, like, a competitive, like,
as you're putting a team together.
I think the difference is it kind of messes with the pace, especially depending on how they build the maps for the game. So the big question mark, I think, about the future game, Modern Warfare, is the maps. Like, the maps they showed in the beta, you know, some of them were clearly made for certain game modes and whatnot. I think the most standout, like, best for competitive map would be Hackney Yard. I thought that was the best map in the beta, just based on design. And you kind of want, you don't need all the maps to be symmetrical, but you want them to be competitively balanced so that when you're playing these objective game modes, like, it makes sense. You don't feel like you're off balance depending where you spawn or not. So anyway, with 5v5, though, it makes it a little more chaotic. It makes the game, like, a little more fast-paced. And I think, like, I mean, maybe the comments can call me out on this. By all means, let's go. But I think with 5v5, it makes the pace so much stronger that, like, you need to play as a team. You can't just, like, individually go off. And one thing that I will be interested to see the difference between Modern Warfare and Black Ops 4 is Black Ops 4 was a very trade heavy game. Like, the five players would kind of, like, all run at the hard point, you know, red team kills blue team kills red team kills blue team, and then kind of whoever, like, started that or gets a two piece during that whole exchange comes out on top of the hard point, and they're gathering that time then based on where the other team is spawning, and then they're blocking spawns and the whole thing. So I don't need to explain competitive Call of Duty to you, because you've been following now for a little bit since
you've explained to me a couple times.
Yeah, so. definitely. I didn't get to carry Brett on the beta yet, but it'll definitely happen when the game comes out.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to show you. But yeah, I think, like, with 5v5, you know, it kind of creates a different pace for competitive. Like, before, and I'm thinking, like, way back to Black Ops 2 days, you could get, like, three players down and, like, kill three of the enemy team, and then you're like, oh my god, let's go, like, we have spawns and basically map control for the next, like, 40 seconds. And now it's like, okay, I killed, like, three people, but there's still two pressuring, and oh, you got a two piece, like, it's just a whole different level, and I think it makes it more exciting for the viewer. As much as I love the older competitive Call of Duties, Black Ops 2 is my favorite. You know, the new style is kind of like, it makes sense. And I think it kind of helps bridge the gap between casual people as well, because it's usually 6v6. Brett, being that this was, like, your first ever Call of Duty Roster Mania, that is so interesting to me because it was truly a roller coaster, right? Like I mentioned earlier, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't talk to as many players as possible. Players wouldn't be doing themselves the right service if they didn't talk to as many franchises as possible. So everybody's dating around in Roster Mania. The people think, like, the teams, they're like, oh yeah, and then Midnight just went and got these guys real quick. Like, there is such a huge process to it. There's agents, there's players, there's
preferences. You were hustling, like, too. I mean, you were talking to a lot of players. You were really working the phones.
Oh, super. I mean, you have to. You have to find out everyone's situation. What do they want? Does it work with us? Like, if you don't do the due diligence to talk to the people that you want to talk to, then you are always wondering, like, oh man, well, maybe that's a missed opportunity. Like, maybe we were able to get this guy with Assault and Silly and blah, blah, blah. Like, you have to talk to everybody. And like I said, every player should have talked to every franchise if possible.
I will say, I was impressed by a lot of the players that we talked to. You know, there were some players that would say, yeah, Minnesota's my top choice. And it was pretty clear that they were just probably saying that to everyone.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of players that I was really impressed by, like, their approach to the conversation and the questions they asked, and even some players that showed a really good understanding of the rules and how it would work to put multiple players together and how they could work, you know, work with it to get the guys that they wanted to play with to the right team. And so I was impressed by, you know, by the vast majority of guys that we talked to and you know, enjoyed just having those conversations and learning about what makes them tick as players.
Yeah.
And I find it's interesting. I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure the first player that I talked to on the phone that you pulled me into the conversation with was Assault, right? Early on.
I think, well, because I knew, like I knew Assault and Silly were pretty interested. They were one of the duos we were obviously interested. So I made sure to talk to them first. Like, any kind of duo that we were, like, pretty interested in, I kind of, like, prioritized them as, like, okay, I'm going to have this conversation. And then, you know, obviously, as I'm talking to so many players, there was, like, a probably a, I want to say a week in time where I just kind of, like, like, hey, I'm dating around. And they're like, no, don't worry, we're dating around too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they're, and they were very communicative. And in these calls, like, you could really tell who understood the opportunity in front of them based on the questions that they would ask. Like, most of the questions, and the obvious one is, where do I have to live? What do I do? And we're like, don't worry, we're going to hook you up with an apartment. It's going to be nice.
Yep.
And you're going to love the facility you're coming to every day. I'm going to be with a camera in your face all the time. I'm going to annoy you. No, I'm just kidding. But no, like, we have great content plans is basically what I'm saying. But yeah, so like, talking to players, and they would just be like, oh, okay, like, just kind of blasé about it, maybe just not understanding, you know, what, not only how to value themselves, but what to ask for their future. And then you had different players who were thinking 4 or 5 years down the line. They're mm-hmm. like, hey, I don't want to play forever. What do you got on the other end? And then, you know, we're able, that's really intriguing to us, obviously, because, you know, we want to be a grassroots team, grassroots movement. And if we fall in love with a player who ends up retiring and it fits, like, mm-hmm. of course, we would want them to be a part of the team, right? So I think it was just really interesting to see kind of where people's priorities were and what they kind of thought about the process. And do you remember, like, having a favorite player call or not really? Is it all just kind of, like, one that was maybe most interesting to you?
Yeah, you know, I think the one that was probably the most interesting was, I probably can't say his name.
Yeah.
But you probably know the one I'm talking about. Because anyone who's gotten to know me through this process knows that I kind of like to nerd out on the rules. And that was, you know, I would say that was probably my value add to our player acquisition conversations was knowing the rules and understanding them. And so when we'd encounter a player that, you know, that knew the rules really well, it was always interesting to, you know, to see that they'd tapped into that.
Seeing guys that had done their homework was really impressive to us. And even like the guys we do have in Silly and Assault specifically, you know, they were very professional throughout. Like, like I said, I'm like, hey, I'm talking to other players, dating around, whatever. And they're like, okay, cool, just let us know. And we try to be extremely transparent throughout the process just with the players, because that's so important. We did, here's a little bit of tea. We're obviously not going to say any names or of players or teams that aren't us or players that aren't announced under our banner yet. But we have got iced a couple times. We basically were like, yeah, you're a
got left at the altar.
Yeah, I got left at the altar a little bit. Like, we thought we had a date to prom, and then last minute they show up with another girl, and you're like, oh, like, you didn't tell me that. Or, like, you know, you didn't tell me till the very last minute. So there were, and as you guys know, in Roster Mania, like, time is crucial. It really is. The timing of everything. So if you get wrapped up in negotiations with players for, like, 3-4 days, that's, like, 2 weeks in Roster Mania time, right, Brett? Like, we feel like we've lived like 3 lifetimes in the last month.
Oh yeah, well, the, you know, the 1 a.m. phone calls and we had a conference call at 3 a.m. once to talk about a situation that had developed middle of the night. So it
I remember that.
Yeah, this has been definitely been a 24-hour clock we've been on for a couple weeks here.
The ownership and Brett learned that esports is 24/7 pretty quickly. It's not 9 to 5. You can't just ignore your phone after 5 o'clock. It's a constantly moving and evolving thing.
Yeah, there was one night where we thought we had made progress with a certain situation, and call it a night, you know, had a couple phone calls late, you know, 10-11 o'clock. I fall asleep on my couch. At 1:15, I wake up to a buzzing of my phone with, again, can't disclose all the details, right? But it was a game changer for the situation we were looking at.
Right.
And so I look at my phone, and, you know, Ashley and others are still going on the text chain, and it, like, took me probably 20 minutes to, like, wake up enough to chime in with, hey guys, let's hop on a quick call. This situation's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I think we ended up going until about 3 o'clock in the morning that night.
Yeah. Thank you so much for watching episode 1 of Building COD MN. Episode 2 will be out very shortly. Make sure to subscribe to all of our social channels. They'll be down in the description. Follow us everywhere. More content coming soon. Thank you.